In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker on the Fan is poured by Pelican Brewing. Experience your hops differently with Hard Hops Blackberry. Hop-infused hard seltzers.
Pelican Brewing Company presents today's Daily Ticker. Pelican invites you to take a beach break. Is he already laughing on the other end? Let me get through the read, Gundy. Come on, calm down over there. Take a beach break at one of their four coastal locations, Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and Lincoln City. Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach.
I love meat.
The wonderful Pelican Ferry Ryan Lischka dropped off a great gift basket for us. I had the Marion Berry soda last night when I got home.
My wife, I put him in the fridge when I got home.
Dude, oh my God.
My wife already had one.
They're unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm blown away.
Ranting and raving about him.
Blown away. Joining us now, calm down, Gundy, calm down. It's early. It's Blazer Banter, Eric Gunderson, at Blazer Banter on Twitter. You can go check out the Blazer Banter Substack, blazerbanter.substack.com.
Look, we have a lot of serious things to talk about with the basketball take God himself.
We do.
We need to know, okay. is Eric Gunderson a folder of toilet paper or a crumpler of toilet paper when on the porcelain?
Oh, I'm definitely a fold.
Thank you.
More of a fold. Yeah,
you're classy.
Sure.
I had you as a crumpler, Gundy. I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah, there's two crumplers on this show, Gundy. Yeah. I'm the only folder. Everybody else just crumples a big ball and puts it in their butt.
I don't got time for that.
Oh, man.
What am I, folding laundry here?
Gotta get an algae crumpler jersey.
Good stuff. So let's talk, Gundy. I mean, what a day, right? Or 2 days ago, I should say. First off, you need to change your Twitter background picture. It is a picture of Scoot, Anthony Simons, and Shaden Sharp.
Oh, no.
We need a new one in there. Let's impose Drew Holiday into that. It comes out of total left field. Everybody who's supposedly in the know telling me Ant's going to get an extension. That doesn't happen. He gets traded. What was your initial reaction to the deal?
Well, I thought it was great for the Blazers. You know, the second round picks kind of threw me off a little bit, but the more I think about it, it's like, let's say they had not extended Simons and he came back and they let him walk or whatever, you know, what are they doing with that extra, you know, 27 to 30 million in cap space? And look, Holiday is advanced in his age, but he can still defend. He still played 30 minutes a night last year for a team that won 60 games. He was on Team USA. And I think, you know, he's still very, very good and also really fits this team's defensive identity, which Simons really did not. And also, you know, I think having Simons out now, you know, he's 26 years old. He's in the prime of his career. It probably was going to not be an easy thing to deal with the Scoot of it all, which is what a lot of us have been saying for months, that they need to let Scoot cook and figure out what Scoot is. And so I was thrilled because to me, this trade does that.
So I'm kind of curious about a lot of things here. I give it an incomplete just in the sense of Gundy. I got to see them do another move because, and you and I have been texting about this. You took subliminal shots at me on social media. I mean,
Gundy. Well done, dude. Shots fired. Yeah, Gundy, he's sitting on a fence over here. Like, get him on one side or the other.
But I do think you can like this move, but I do think you have to wait to see what the next move is. Because if there isn't a next move, I just don't understand the logic of this move at all.
I mean, in a vacuum, yes, I understand. Like, okay, in a vacuum, I actually like the move because I think he's 35 years old. It's a much easier sell to tell this guy, I don't care how much money he's making. Scoot was the number three pick. They were better offensively when Scoot was on the court last year. As much as everyone talks about gravity and shooting, Scoot had the highest on-court plus minus to their offensive rating of anybody on the team, including Denny Avdija. So the offense was better when Scoot played. So I don't buy this notion that it's a charity case or it's not win now to start Scoot next year. So that's why I don't think it's a bad move in a vacuum. But I agree with you. It would be better if they can move more contracts, create a little bit more flexibility, you know, move Jeremy Grant somewhere, you know, to let Avdija and Kamara be the starting front court. Like, I think those moves would make the move better. But I still think in a vacuum it's a good move because I think it sets up – Scoot to take over the offense and the keys and, you know, and play. And also, I think it's better for the team because they were better offensively last year when Scoot played.
Is there a gravity rating on NBA players? Is that a thing?
I mean,
there should be.
I mean, they're allegedly, you know, I don't know. I haven't seen that one.
His gravity, I like that.
I feel like there's a flux capacitor rating. It's just analytics I've never heard of
before. Gravity plus minus is above the league minimum average.
How much, I got to ask you, Gundy, how much of the draft tonight, like, I'm curious if Portland's going to stay at 11. Are they going to be a team that's willing to trade back for multiple picks for a team that maybe wants to move up to get a guy? I'm kind of fascinated with the draft. Brooklyn has 5 picks. Like, no team has used 5 picks in draft history. They have a sixth of the draft. What do you think? What are you expecting from a Blazer perspective tonight?
I mean, I think everything's on the table. And yeah, I've been kicking around the idea of, you know, I think using 11 and maybe in Jeremy Grant to move back out, you know, to move further back into the first round. You know, you let someone, you know, move up, and the cost of moving up is to take Jeremy Grant. And so, and give up one of your later picks. Maybe it's Brooklyn. Maybe it's New Orleans, who, you know, Troy Weaver is now the assistant GM in New Orleans. And Troy Weaver is the one who signed Jeremy Grant to his first big contract in Detroit. So I think there's a connection there. And everyone's also saying, you know, I've heard everything about New Orleans is open for business. It's basically like anybody but Zion is available. And so that kind of makes them a wild card as well. And then, the Brooklyn thing, again, I know I said it at the top, but 5 picks, there's no way they're using 5 picks. That's just not happening.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. Eric Gunderson is our guest. Blazer Banter on Twitter, Blazer Banter Substack, blazerbanter.substack.com is where you can find his writing on the Trailblazers, talking a little bit of Anfernee Simons trade and NBA draft, which is tonight. If they do stick at 11, Gundy, you know, it's interesting now we kind of have a different perspective on it because the roster has changed in the last 48 hours. Now there are more dominoes likely to fall, at least it seems that way. If they do stick at 11, who are the names, who are the guys that stand out to you? Are you worried about positional fit and, hey, their best player available is a point guard. We don't need another point guard. Do we stay away from that? Looking for just wings? What's on your mind at number 11?
You know, I've really liked Cedric Coward a lot. I like his physical makeup. I like the fact that he was a really good rebounder in college. I like that he can shoot. I also really like the fact that, you know, before he became this draft riser, he was going to go to Duke, and usually Duke knows what they're doing. So I think that's a good sign, but it seems like he's going to go way later than that. I'm a little bit higher on Yegor Demon than some people. I like the size. I know that he's more of a point guard, but he's more of a pass first guy. They could use maybe another guy that can get other people involved. And then Kasparis Giakachonis is another guy that I hear a lot about, but I'd also be into Carter Bryant. I mean, he's a wing, especially if Jeremy Grant is getting traded. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to need another wing to kind of come off the bench. And again, a little bit like how Drew being older is maybe a more of a possibility that he comes off the bench. Carter Bryant being younger and like a rookie makes it a little bit easier to kind of bring him along slowly. So I think Carter Bryant would be a really intriguing pick as well. And I think there's a lot of upside there. He can shoot. He can play defense, and I think Carter Bryant really fits this team's identity a lot as well. Hmm. So I like a lot of those guys, to be honest with you. I think this draft is very deep. Another guy that I want to shout out that I really like, especially if maybe they move Ayton or Robert Williams, is Thomas Sorber from Georgetown. He was one of the best freshmen in the country last year behind Cooper Flagg, and a lot of people don't know him because, you know, Georgetown isn't what they used to be, but really good defensive player and also really skilled offensive player. And I wouldn't mind taking a flyer on him either. So there's a lot of guys I like in this draft, to be honest with you. It's a pretty deep first round.
Last one for you, Gundy. Would you be shocked? Would it be a mistake if Scoot's coming off the bench and they start Drew next to Shea?
I think it would be a mistake. I don't think it would be smart. Personally, I think it would be a waste of time, and I also don't think it's better for the team. Now, I know that sometimes Scoot makes, you know, he falls asleep sometimes on off-ball defense, but or, you know, misses a rotation here and there, but he's never going to get better at those things if he doesn't play. And I think the upside that he gives you offensively, especially, you know, given this team's struggles offensively the past couple of years, I think you need that. I think you need his ability to get the team organized, to play with pace, to hit the ball, do the hit ahead pass to Denny, to Tumani, to those guys. He gets them into a better flow offensively. And at this stage of his career, I don't think Drew can do that. I don't think Drew can run an offense at this stage of his career. I really don't. Like, he might be able to do so in a bench role, but I don't think that's the role that he's best suited for at this stage. I mean, on Boston, he was what, like the fourth or fifth option, like maybe even sixth option if Peyton Pritchard's out there. Like, he's not a guy that should be leading your offense, in my opinion. He's a great player to have on your team, but I think it would be a major mistake if they don't start Scoot.
Amen, brother. You're preaching to my choir. This is why I'm a Blazer banter believer, man. He's always number one in my book, even though he calls in every time from the toilet. I love him. Eric Gunderson, at Blazer Banter on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Change the background picture on Twitter. We need a new player in that middle, you know, like Brady Bunch photo of the young Blazer guards. And subscribe to his Substack, blazerbanter.substack.com.
So far, a masterpiece.
That was a masterpiece. He hit it out of the ballpark. Enjoy the draft tonight, Gundy, and let's do this again soon.
Appreciate you, Dirt. Later, Sprague. We'll talk later, guys.
Wow.